Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Happy Monday. Let's get after it, huh? Matt Smith in for Josh Dover. Stoke is in the building. And we have tons to get to. First, a quick text on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Stoke still watches the Broncos look pathetic. What a hypocrite. Hypocritical, well, Stoke on a Monday, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm, you know,
Broncos wasting your play. You don't want to waste your time with the Rockies, but you watch every Broncos game.
Yeah, well, we talk about every Broncos game because, you know, they play football, and we love football.
Yay football.
Yay
like
football.
Nathaniel Hackett.
That's so. Right. So it's a little bit different. 162 games of baseball, bad baseball. Not doing it. Sorry, pal.
Someone else feels your pain and says, I'd rather learn Cantonese at this point, so then watch the Rockies. And you can't blame them, even though they're on TV. You really can't. Hey, I want to run some Michael Malone audio by you because we talked about this 130 to 101 Nuggets over the Cavs yesterday, which impressive performance. Jokic 26, 18, 16, a plus 37 leading the charge. Reggie poured in 19 in 23 minutes. MPJ contributed 19. And we didn't even bring up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope yesterday, who was awesome. Awesome. 22 points, 7 to 10 from the field. And Stoke, even Christian Brown, you talked about you being concerned about this bench. Three of the last six games, CB in double digits.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what you want. I know that game against Minnesota was a disaster all the way around for everyone, really. So, look, if you're going to try to do it again and repeat again, you're going to need some of those guys to step up. We saw Reggie Jackson yesterday do it. Like, you know, you're talking about Caldwell Pope. Like, you're going to need his scoring also. Right. I mean, it's not going to be easy. You're the hunted now. People are looking at you. I mean, they like, this team is for real. I think the Nuggets took a lot of people by surprise last year. And you're certainly, if you did do that, you're not going to do that again this year. And so you're going to have other guys step up. You mentioned it earlier, Michael Porter Jr., he's got to have a better playoff run than he did last year. So it's I'm glad they got back on track. I was becoming concerned with what I was watching, not with the guys. It was the other guys. Without Jamal, the trickle-down effect there is it looked bad.
Yeah. You know, I said yesterday that the starting lineup to me is like a game of Jenga that's kind of getting down to it at this point. You pull one of those logs out of there, and I mean, this thing could fall over in that starting lineup. They're just a different team. If you're, that's why it's so important to have everybody healthy. So after the Minnesota beatdown on Friday night, embarrassing performance, I thought in the second half they bounced back and they showed some fight a little bit. It kind of cut the deficit down, but they still, as Michael Malone mentioned afterwards, were never in that game. But he also brought this point up afterwards, which I thought was interesting. So take a listen to this. This was Malone after the Minnesota game on Friday.
I have to make sure that I take my blinders off once in a while because I get in that foxhole and I'm thinking about Cleveland right now. You know, but sometimes you have to come up for air and think that we have eight games to go. And like I was just talking with Jamal, and like he apologized to me. I said, "Don't apologize, man. You're not trying to be hurt, and your health is more important than a win right now." Because as I said many times to you guys, I have complete confidence that our group, regardless of seed, can beat anybody anywhere when we're healthy, because we've done it. But I'll have to think about that one, Matt, about kind of where it at. But I just want to win. Now, I want to get back to playing 48 minutes of Denver Nugget basketball. So we can walk out of here feeling really good about ourselves, playing the right way. And you think about it, I think we're 15-4 now since the break. Overall, it's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, that's incredible to do, you know, but I just hate losing two in a row. Like, that really bothers me.
So the Nuggets are at this stage now where there's seven games left, Stoke. You've got one more against San Antonio. And then, what is it, the rest of the way, you've got the Clippers on the road, the Hawks at home, at the Jazz, and then again home to Minnesota, and then you finish at San Antonio and at Memphis. I'm curious, based upon what we saw Friday and then the bounce back yesterday afternoon where it was almost like a different team showed up. They were focused. They were determined. They shot the lights out. Where are we at with bodies and rest versus chasing the number one seed here down the stretch?
Well, obviously, health is first and foremost, right? Regardless, like you want your team to be as healthy as possible going to the playoffs, right? That's number one priority. I really don't need to hear Michael Malone tell me that again. That's a no-brainer, right? I mean, it just is. You're not going to sacrifice health to go chase a number one seed or a number two seed. You're going to be a top three seed no matter what, okay? So you're certainly not going to chase the number one seed and put health on the back burner. Health is always first and foremost, and that's just the way it's going to be, and that's the way it should be. All right, cool. I got it. At the same time, I want to be playing really good basketball heading into the playoffs. I want to be completely healthy, and I would really like the number one seed because there are some real teams in the West. We have a real home court advantage here at altitude, you know, at Ball Arena. So I would like the number one seed. I think that's a huge positive. Can we go on the road and win a series if OKC and Denver match up in the Western Conference Finals? Certainly we can. I'm not like going to all of a sudden think this team is behind the eight ball because they don't have home court in a series. They've shown they can go on the road and win big games in big moments. But I would like to find a way to get that top seed if possible. Because like I said, there's some real teams out there. And I think they're better prepared for the Nuggets this year than maybe some of those teams were last year. And the concern is this bench and the consistency of the bench. I know he will shorten it down. Another thing to think of is, look, you got to play in games after the regular season. So what is that? 3, 4, 5 days off of rest that you're going to have before the playoffs. So it's not like we need to coast into the playoffs because there will be a time there where you get a little rest, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just saying that. Like, is 3 or 4 days going to heal Jokic's back that he's been dealing with all year?
Well,
I'm just saying. Maybe, do you look at giving those guys a couple of extra games? Because, hey, if we have to go on the road to OKC to play them in the Western Conference Finals, we'll cross that bridge when we get there versus putting him out there and maybe, you know, cashing him a little bit.
Well, I think to your point, every situation's different. Okay? Jokic, how hurt is he? You know, like, if he needs more days, guess what? Give him more days. I don't really care. That I think that goes without saying. If Jamal is, you know, if it's close, you sit the guy. But if a guy's ready to go, he's ready to go. How did Jokic look last night?
He looked great.
Looked pretty healthy, right?
He's
like, dude, the injury report in the NBA is absolutely ridiculous.
Well,
it's insanity is what it is. And what you see a lot of, and Dover gave me a heads up on this, and I think he's accurate. You see a lot of fake stuff on the injury report.
Sure.
So when you need to sit the guy, then you can sit him for the reasons why you have documented, right? I do believe that to a certain degree. So, but like if Jokic is back or hip or whatever's hurting, rest him. Please rest him. But if you're ready to play and you're good to play, I say play.
On Friday, he told the media in the press conference that he could feel his wrist that he had taped up on every shot. And then he bounced back. He looked great the other day. And Michael Malone said that he and Jokic are in constant communication about the wrist. But at some point, are you going to play Nicole in every game down the stretch if you can?
No.
Which ones would you take off? Better teams or worse teams? Home games or road games? Because these are the decisions that Michael Malone has to make right now.
I'm taking off on worse teams.
So right? You're going to send him to L.A. to play the Clippers on a one-off? Because that's who they have. After they play San Antonio, they go to the Clippers for one, home to Atlanta.
Yeah, why not? Why not? He's getting paid. We're playing basketball, one-off.
Well, you said you're going to rest him at some point.
Yeah,
so which
against
games?
The worst teams.
So you're going to do it against the worst teams. So you have a better chance to win those games.
Yes, because I'm still trying to win.
Okay.
But if he needs rest, rest him. You were saying one-off. You mean one-off like because it's the
one-game road trip. Yeah.
A one-game road trip there. You know, it's like, damn, all right, get on that private plane and, you know, I'm sure he's not sitting middle seat.
I'm sure he's not by the bathroom.
A nice suite. And so I'm like, I don't think it's very taxing to do that traveling. But, you know, hey, I don't know.
It's more about playing on the road against a better opponent that you might run into later.
What would you prefer to do there?
I'd probably rest him on the road, play him at home. That's probably what I would do, but I hear your point. Now, they're a half game back of Oklahoma City right now for the number one seed. Minnesota's a half game back behind them.
Did you see OKC how they won last night?
Ridiculous. They won by one in New York.
SGA with, I mean, Brunson was awesome and got him up by one. And SGA pretty much hit a buzzer beater to win that game for him. So I was hoping the Knicks would get that one.
All right, so just to clarify here.
But here's the other thing, real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but the last two games are against the Spurs and the Grizzlies on the road. So it's like those are two awful teams. If he needs rest down the stretch, some more rest, you could sit in both of those games, or at least one of them.
Okay. All right, well, I'm just curious because, like I said, it's not just Jokic. It's not just Murray. We've had Gordon with the plantar fasciitis. We've had MPJ with the drop foot, KCP with the hammy and the finger.
The drop foot was like 3 years ago.
He's still got it. He's still dealing with it. He still wears the brace.
But it doesn't seem like it's bothering him, does it? Has he missed time because of it this year?
No, he's only missed one game, which probably we haven't talked about enough, to be honest with you. He only missed that Sacramento game, if memory serves. The point is this. You don't have much more time to rest, so take it if you need it.
Gotcha.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. But I respect what you're saying.
And I'm with you, though. Like, if you need to rest certain guys, please rest them.
Okay. Well, because Mike Malone's been saying that the one seed isn't his priority and that he's not trying to bump health for the one seed. So for me, it's like, I mean.
But sometimes his actions tell us otherwise.
That's kind of my point here. So we'll follow the breadcrumbs. There's no doubt about it. Hey, the numbers are in on Josh Reynolds' contract. Who? That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Well, the numbers are in on new Broncos receiver Josh Reynolds' contract, which I know we've all been waiting on bated breath. It's just a splash signing like this in free agency. You just can't wait to get your hands on the juicy deets. And we've got him now. We've got him now. It was reported last week, Stoke. It was a 2-year, $14 million contract from Reynolds. I don't know if you saw that. Of course.
Yeah, up to $14 million.
Well.
Which tells you a lot when they say up to $14 million. That means there are a lot of incentives in there.
Right.
All right, give us the details. What you got?
Essentially, and I'm just pulling up the exact figures here so I make sure that I don't tell you wrong, okay? We're looking at Reynolds for, what is it? Where'd you put him, Drew? Is it about three? Is it about 2.5?
Oh, now we're blaming
per
Drew.
Year. It
now,
was.
Now you're blaming Drew.
Yeah, it was Drew.
Well,
I just had it pulled up here.
Well, apparently
here
not.
Here we go. No, it's right here.
Okay.
It's right here.
Around yelling.
Well, it's Mike Kliss. I just want to make sure.
Right,
you know, I got Mike Kliss here. You know, it just, it's important here.
Well,
the number was about 2.5 base salary. So there are incentives to bring it up. So it's more or less like a 2-year kind of with incentives around 5-ish to 9. Okay, most likely.
That's a big range there. Big range. I don't mind this signing, you know, overall. And I don't mind because going into this whole thing, I wasn't thinking they're not going to be big players in free agency. And do you want to add to the wide receiver room? Of course we want to add to the wide receiver room.
All right. There it is. I got your exact numbers.
Okay. This is what we need. Not a roundabout. Guessing.
I was right, but base salary 2.2 and a total salary cap hit of 3.5 in 24. So really not that much.
And, no,
and in 2025, 5.5 million. So at first I saw this and I was like, up to 14. How up to are we talking about for a guy like Josh Reynolds? Well, I feel much more comfortable with, you know, all told about a $9 million as I originally said, you know.
Yeah.
Cap hit.
But you weren't very
sure
confident
about it?
In
no,
that.
No,
right? I mean, because you kept fumbling around trying to find Mike Kliss and then you're yelling at Drew, throwing him under the bus. So
sorry.
You weren't very confident.
I'm
going to
throw you under the bus next segment.
Perfect. Yeah. I can't wait. So it's really a 1-year deal with an option for year two there for the Denver Broncos. If he plays well, guess what? You'll keep him for year two. If he doesn't play well, you just release him and you move on.
Exactly.
And if he plays really, really good, he'll hit a lot of incentives, which is a win-win. Perfect. Go ahead and get paid. Make some extra money. If you play well, it's perfect. I mean, this is welcome to Broncos country in 2024, right?
Welcome to Broncoland.
Yeah, almost. This is where we're at. This is where we're at, Broncos country, right here.
I feel like we're living in Bronco land right now.
Welcome to Bronco land.
Thank you, John. I know it's not fun, it's not pretty, but, you know, we'll see what the draft looks like. We knew they weren't going to be big players in free agency.
Yeah.
We'll see if they sign anyone else. I'm not even really all that concerned with it. Honestly, I'm just not. I'm just not. So, you know what? You know what I'm concerned with, Matt?
What's that? A quarterback?
You got it.
Mm.
Find a quarterback. That's it. That's it. If we could do that this year, I'm good. So, that, I mean, that's how do you view the Josh Reynolds signing?
I was a little surprised they made the move and didn't wait until after the draft. You figure probably a guy like this would be around after the draft, or you draft a younger receiver. I mean, what's the point, was my first thought. But now you see the type of money. I mean, it's only a $3.5 million cap hit this year. He's a solid football player. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, any great shakes, but he can get it done for you. He can play inside. He's a good run blocker. I've always liked Josh Reynolds. He seemed to always had a good chemistry with Jared Goff, but outside of with Goff, he hadn't been all that good. So we'll see if he can, you know, find some footing here for Jarrett Stidham.
Well,
QB1, Jarrett Stidham.
Right now.
Well,
right now, he is QB1.
You brought it up. What you want this year is to find a quarterback, and I think that your thought process is much along the lines of Sean Payton. His comments last week at the owners' meetings somewhat seemed to contradict those of Greg Penner and George Payton. I don't know if you saw that.
But well, Penner, tell me.
Penner and Payton both talked about, look, rebuilding the right way. It's going to take a little time here. And Payton said sometimes you want something to happen so much, but you can't really force it because it just isn't there as much as you want it. And then,
well, I think that's,
you look at Sean Payton clapping back at Ian Rappaport about, right. I saw your report. No, Ian, I think it was. I saw your reporting. We have the assets to move up. So the question becomes, first of all, is there a divide? And second of all, is Sean really willing to spend the assets to move up to 4 to go get a quarterback? Because it feels like at this stage, that's where you're going to have to get to.
Yeah, I don't think there's a divide. I think ultimately, you know, Sean is he has only one person to answer to, and that's Greg Penner. And I think Greg Penner paid Sean Payton a lot of money to handle his business and do his job. And run the football side of things. And so I don't think there's a divide there. Now, we'll see. You know, do you believe Sean?
Of course.
You know, do you believe that's what he wants to do and would do it if it presents itself?
In a minute.
I agree with you there. I think, look, if his guy's there and he's able to go up and get and having J.J. McCarthy at 4, I don't think he'll hesitate to trade 2025 and 2026 first-round picks. I don't think he'll hesitate to do it. I'm with you. Now, will he do that? Does he love J.J. McCarthy that much? I'm not sure about all of that, you know. But if I think being aggressive and you know, is not it doesn't bother Sean Payton, the thought of trading a bunch of assets to move up to go get a quarterback. I don't think it bothers him at all.
You just said 2025 and 2026 to move up to get QB4 in this draft?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do, I think, at the minimum. I mean, you don't even have a second-round pick this year. So if you're going to be that team to move up, you're going to have to trade both those first-round picks. And I wouldn't do it.
Save it, because I got to ask you about that next, because I feel like there is a legitimate path that the Broncos could go down that, if it doesn't work, could potentially set him back another, 8 years? That's next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You just said something. Before we went to break, Matt Smith in for Dover was stoked today. That kind of has me shaking in my boots. We're talking about the Broncos down there at the NFL owners' meetings last week and potentially some mixed messaging coming from their leadership contingency, George Payton, Greg Penner, and of course the head honcho, Sean Payton. Honcho. He said to Ian Rappaport that Rappaport was off base in his reporting that the Broncos would not have the necessary assets to move up in the draft. And I'm starting to think if we follow their actions, they're at every pro day last week, right? I mean, Sean Payton made J.J. McCarthy work out privately the day after his pro day, and he made him throw again, as he told, you know, R.C. Salami with a big smile on his face. Made him throw again. Yeah, all over again. Now, you just brought up that you think he would have no problem moving next year's first-round pick and 2026's first-round pick to move up to four to get the fourth quarterback off the board.
Yeah, I don't think it, yeah, he wouldn't even bat an eye.
Oh, man. I mean, so you're talking about a pick swap with 4 and 12, yep. Probably like a third-round pick this year, too, I would imagine.
Hopefully not, but, yeah, I mean, possibly.
And then 2025 and 2026?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so let's just think about this. That would be 5 of 6 years the Broncos, if that happens, wouldn't draft a player in the first round.
Yep.
How do you rebuild a team like that?
Well, you got to hit on your other picks.
Oh, right? That's easy. Well, that's easy.
If it was easy, anyone can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like this is why you're getting paid a ton of money. George and Sean. Like George, like what? Like someone's got to do it. Like you got to find Isaiah Pacheco's and these 5th, 6th, 7th round guys that end up being good players. These 4th round slot receivers, you know,
yeah,
coming from small schools. I mean, you got to find those guys. So it's not going to be easy, but just because you don't have a first round pick, you're not going to throw the towel in saying like, oh, we can't get talent. There's talent out there.
Sure, but you're talking about sacrificing future talent.
I know, but here, how important is the quarterback position?
Obviously, it's the most important, but you're jumping with ankle weights on this year with the dead cap because you got to deal with it next year too. Now, It's going to be softened by the salary cap,
right.
No question about it, but you're trying – see, this is where I struggle with this because if you're going to bring in a rookie quarterback to this situation, do you think this Broncos roster is any good?
No.
Okay. So now you're not going to have a first-round pick the next 2 years either.
That's correct.
What resources are you giving a rookie quarterback to have success? Or are you expecting this guy to be the tide that raises all boats? So, okay, maybe you have a middling roster, but he is going to be the next dude, the fourth quarterback in this class.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not a good situation. I feel you. I'm with you. I'm not saying this is what I want to do.
Okay.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I don't think Sean Payton would hesitate to do it. It is not my first choice by far to do this type of move, okay? I think this roster needs major, major overhaul and upgrades. But I do know this. Like, Sean Payton didn't come here for 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to win now. And I think last year he realized that he can't do that again. Have a quarterback like that. That just, like, drove him insane. Drove him nuts.
What do you mean quarterback like that? Incompatible.
Like Russ. Okay. Yeah. Okay. A quarterback just like Russell Wilson, a guy that can't operate a game plan, a guy that can't function from within the pocket. And
someone who's not a processor.
Yeah, all of those things, right? Where you're holding their hand. And so he's like, I think he realizes, I got to find a quarterback. I got to get a quarterback. And so obviously they're putting a lot into finding a quarterback. And I think if they have an opportunity to go up and get it, Sean will say, you know what, I'll figure all the other stuff out.
If it doesn't work, it's somebody else's problem anyway.
Exactly. But I've got to get a quarterback. And guess what? You're not getting a quarterback in free agency. You're not. Peyton Manning isn't walking through the door. Plus, your salary cap situation's all jacked up from Russ.
Well, everybody's off the board anyway now.
Now, but I'm talking about next year, too. Don't plan on getting a quarterback that's going to solve your issues in free agency next year. Probably going to be a little bit like it was this year. That's what I'm thinking. So you need to draft the guy. You're going to have to draft him. And it's not easy.
But why not try and angle for that next year? Because I'm
fine with that.
Okay.
Fine with that.
Yeah, and I think even for Sean, this is why I say that has me shaking in my boots that he's willing to do a pick swap on a first this year and two future firsts on top of it. To me, that's lunacy for the fourth quarterback off the board. You're all of a sudden smarter than everybody else who had the other three guys ahead of QB4. So you're going to move up two first-round picks, future, and swap your current to go up and put a quarterback who other teams in the league don't have as the top three.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about what other teams have. That happens a lot where, hey, well, this guy went, that guy went, that guy went, and the fourth guy or fifth guy ends up being the best guy. It happens.
How many times does that happen?
Well, Matt, I don't have it right here in front of me,
I happen to have it right here in front of me. Would you like to know the fourth quarterback off the board the last few drafts?
Well, yeah, sure.
Will Levis last year.
All right, doesn't look very promising.
Matt Corral the year before.
What round was he drafted in, though?
I mean, fourth round.
So he was that was an awful class.
Awful class.
He was fourth quarterback in the fourth round. So throw that one out.
Justin Fields in 2021.
He's probably the best of the bunch. Wait, real quick. Whoa, slow your roll. Wouldn't you think Justin Fields in that draft class was the best of the bunch? Who else was in that class? Give them to me.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, besides the number one pick in the draft.
Zach Wilson.
Right.
Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, Ian Book, Sam Ellinger.
Well, that would... Okay.
Yes, I'd probably say that second. Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in that draft class.
Yes. He certainly is better than Justin Fields. But so, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get caught up in how people rate their quarterbacks and say, well... Oh, man. Well,
I think they should keep going. That was just a couple of years.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I mean, if we're going to look at historical context here, might as well.
I got some other things to say about Sean Payton. I don't want to spend the whole time going through draft history.
So talk to me then. Okay, so I'll just say I think bad strategy, sacrificing that much future capital on a team that really doesn't have a good foundation to go get a guy that isn't at least thought of consensus-wise the top three, even though Sean Payton told us that he's grateful that other teams don't evaluate quarterbacks as well as he is.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not worried about that. I mean, Brady or Russ, I mean, these quarterbacks were good quarterbacks in the NFL, and they weren't taken in,
Sure.
So I'm not...
But they also weren't moved up to future first to get. That is where I'm going, hey, huge difference between drafting, Russ in the third and Brady in the fifth.
But you're talking about how other teams evaluate quarterbacks.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I'm not putting a lot into how a team, because the teams miss all the time. How about Patrick Mahomes? How many quarterbacks went in front of Patrick Mahomes in the first round? Because this is more relevant here, right? And Josh Allen also. Maybe you can tell me that, and then I'll give you my thoughts there. If you can find that draft.
Trubisky was the only one who went ahead of Mahomes in 2017. Okay. And then two quarterbacks, Mayfield and Darnold, went ahead of Josh Allen.
So, Mayfield, Darnold, both of those guys, very underwhelming, I would say, right? Mayfield's on his fifth team. He had his best, maybe second best year with Tampa this year, fourth or fifth team. Darnold, he's a journeyman quarterback right now. So, he was a third quarterback taken. So you're going to say, Buffalo, yeah. you made a mistake. So that's why I don't want to just all encompass and just look at this thing and say, all right, well, three teams overlooked this guy and didn't draft this guy, so there must be something wrong with him. You know what I'm saying?
No. I totally hear you. And my point is if you had the fourth pick in the draft, hey, buddy, no problem. I mean, you're not sacrificing future assets, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about sacrificing more years of potentially drafting younger foundational players. So while I hear you, and there are different ways to evaluate quarterbacks, the same thing those other teams didn't do was sacrifice a bunch of future assets.
And I'm not on board with doing that.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not. I'm not trying to stick up for that thought process because I don't want to do it. Now, if they do it, I'm going to hope it works out and we do get to Josh Allen of the draft, right?
Clearly,
and those
clearly.
Guys, maybe there's three out of the four quarterbacks turn out to be good. I don't know. I'm not overly concerned by a team passing up on a guy and all of a sudden that team is, they know it all. I'm concerned here. My biggest concern, we move up to the fourth pick and take McCarthy, okay, whatever. We trade future first-round picks, and then all of a sudden next year that first-round pick's the third pick in the draft.
This is exactly my point.
That's my biggest concern. Yeah. Then the following year it's the eighth pick in the draft, and we're sitting there like we were when Seattle had our draft pick, and we're like, oh, my gosh, it was a fifth pick in the draft.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So if you do it, you got to hit, and if you don't hit, I think it's 10 years of you'll pay the price for a decade.
I think it's
a decade.
So that is this a good strategy?
It's only a good strategy if it hits. If you get the quarterback.
Right.
And you still have a lot of work to do around that quarterback. You're not putting him in a good situation. I'd rather lay the foundation for that guy to be successful first and then add him, the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see. That's what makes it so interesting this year, to see how Sean operates and handles it.
When I hit that 10-leg same gamer,
yeah,
amazing hit.
Right.
how many times that happened? Not all that often.
Not all that often.
And what else am I not doing? Mortgaging my paycheck next month and the month after that on that one bet. Well, maybe.
You know,
maybe it's a good value. Good juice.
You got to go for it sometimes.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's an interesting conversation, and we'll dig into that a little bit more as the day draws on here. Matt Smith in for Dover alongside Brandon Stokely on the other side. Boy, more summer football? I mean, why should we care about this one? That's next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know what? I gotta say this. Something that's just worth getting out there. I feel bad for today's kids. They didn't grow up with music like this that taught them such valuable lessons. You know, Blink 182, Enema of the State, growing up, it was like, oh, that's what that means. Oh, when she comes over, it's not always about love. Oh.
Yeah, I don't listen to the words all that much. No. I don't really, no.
So there's a new summer football league, by the way. Matt Smith in for Josh Dover, Stoke in the building. There's a new summer football league, and I know we all love summer football so much. So let's break down the San Antonio Flying Leopards and the Arlington Crouching Grasshoppers. It was 12-10 yesterday. No, we're not actually going to break down any UFL action. But, of course, there is a new UFL league. The XFL and the USFL have combined. Nobody cares. It's the Rocks League. Nobody cares. And when we saw the debut of this game the other day, no one was there. I mean, they had a big old stadium, and the lower bowl was barely filled. Except there was actually somebody there. Somebody pretty recognizable, Stoke.
The Rock?
Well, you know, The Rock was there. Okay. Yeah. Troy Aikman was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no question.
Where was the game at? Dallas?
Sure. No? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter!
It doesn't matter where the game was. But you know who was there?
They gave me my theme music.
Oh, Dion was there.
Dion was there.
Okay.
Same day that, you know, his daughter's team was playing Caitlin Clark in the Sweet 16, he was at the UFL debut, probably because he was there to support The Rock, of course, you know.
I don't know, I don't really think it's greasing the skids with Fox.
That's what I think it was, because it wasn't just Dion who was there.
Paid appearance, you think?
I'm not exactly sure if it was a paid appearance or, like I said, one hand washes the other. Hopefully Big Noon Kickoff comes back to Boulder a few times this year. And I know he was trying to get the spring game broadcasted on Fox, because ESPN is going to be carrying the third day of the NFL draft, so they're not going to cover the spring game. But unfortunately, it doesn't sound like they're able to come to an agreement with Fox. So the spring game is going to be on Pac-12 networks.
Okay. All right. I think Dion probably went probably a paid appearance. That's,
you know, who he was interviewed by?
Who?
Brock Huard.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
I see
closet,
Brock.
Closet prime hater, Brock Huard.
So yeah. Brock is doing some UFL stuff.
Yeah, very busy this summer, Brock Huard.
I see you.
Very busy. He was even threw a couple of, you know, little jokes at Dion.
Did he really?
Yeah, he asked Dion if that was a custom gold whistle. Is that gold whistle custom? Yeah.
I see, Brock.
Little closet prime hater, Brock Huard.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, look. It kind of is what it is. Dion has some haters out there, obviously. Yeah. When you do something a certain way, you're going to have some people that resent you. But it's kind of time to take a big step forward this year, Matt.
Huge step forward. And someone who's going to be taking the step with Dion, who showed up this weekend in Boulder, ta-da, Warren Sapp is officially a part of the coaching staff as a quality control analyst. So two gold jackets on that coaching staff. Look, he's not an actual position coach. I don't think it can hurt having him around. And the kids love him. He's great for recruiting. And slowly but surely, I know there are rumors that once Shadur leaves and once Shiloh leaves and Travis is gone, that Prime is going to dipsy-doodle out of here.
Yeah.
But the one thing he did yesterday, which I thought was interesting, is he hired, I'm going to have to bring up his name. Seven played in the NFL 7 years. Former offensive lineman. I'm gonna have to bring up his name. Drew, do you have that name off the top of your head? Will you look it up? It's Gembringer, something like that. Former NFL offensive lineman. The point was he also used to run or help run IMG Academy,
right?
Which is obviously the feeding ground for the elite programs in college football. Basically, a prep school where you're there to, you know, go to play football, not really go to school. I mean, you're there for school, but
yeah,
you know,
develop athletically.
Exactly. Well, I think he's trying to create a little IMG pipeline because you'll remember Jordan Seaton came from IMG Academy.
You're talking about the offensive lineman.
The offensive right? lineman, five-star. Absolutely.
Offensive lineman. So I think that's a smart way to go about that.
So it's
a ton of talent there.
Say that name on the air.
George Hageman.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean.
One of your NFL brethren, you don't know?
Yeah, no, I don't. But I think that's a good hire. I do. It's like you said. You made a good point. I mean, there's a ton of talent down there. This guy seems like probably a good coach, and it doesn't hurt that he's got some connections in South Florida at IMG. So, all right, cool. I am nervous though that Deion bolts after 2 years. I'm getting more and more nervous about it just watching him and how he operates. I didn't think that was going to be the case a year ago. But now looking at the landscape, especially if they don't go out and ball out this year, I could see him taking that step and leaving town with Shador and Travis. I could.
Where's he gonna go?
If
they don't ball out this year, you think he's getting hired?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure. I just don't think he's here anymore.
I think that is the speculation that he just goes back to the prime ranch and goes fishing and just goes and enjoys his life.
And watches, you know, his oldest play and then, you know, Travis play and Shiloh
mm-hmm.
play also. I guess, is he going to be a
fourth or fifth round
yeah,
pick?
So yeah. Watch, you know, and just kind of kick it. And I don't know. That's kind of my thought on this thing now.
Well, can I give you another piece of information that may strengthen that feeling that you have?
Sure.
I've been told that they put a large contract in front of Deion and he doesn't want to sign it.
Okay. Well,
because everybody said last year, give this guy a lifetime deal, lock him up.
Yeah, I was saying that.
Yeah,
I was saying that.
Well, he won't sign it.
Interesting. But he said this is where he wants to be. He doesn't want to go anywhere. This is where he wants to be. That's what he's told us, right?
Repeatedly. Extensively.
Which, you know, wouldn't be the first coach that lied to us, would it?
No. And the way, as much as he wants to make you believe it, the world isn't gospel according to Prime. So, I mean, he's been known to, you know, embellish just a little bit here or there,
sure,
too. You know, put a good spin on it. The point is that I think that if he does stay, what he's trying to do is he's trying to build an NFL feeder program here where you're going to recruit the transfer portal hard. You're really not going to mess around with high school. Maybe you'll do it a little bit.
Sure.
But what you're going to do is you're going to try and bring in any coach you can find with NFL experience, which is basically what he's done. Pat Shurmur, he hired, obviously offensive coordinator, and then defensive coordinator. I got to meet Robert Livingston for the first time last week. Now, Robert Livingston was a safeties coach with the Bengals, and I'm curious, I wanted to run this by you. He is not coming in with a scheme. Remember, has never called defensive plays before, has never been a defensive coordinator. He only job he's really had, in college, he was a quality control assistant at Fordham or Furman, and then he spent 1 year as a grad assistant at Vanderbilt. And then outside of that, it was 9 years in the NFL. So he's coming in. He said he wants to adjust and adapt his system to the talent that he has on the field. Do you like that philosophy for a first-timer?
No, I don't. And I don't know the whole situation. I want my guy that's coming in to have a foundation and to say, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, this is how you play really good defense. And then you have to make some tweaks and some adjustments depending on your personnel, right?
Sure.
That's what I would like to see. So I don't know if he's coming in here. I would like to think that, so this guy's been a while in the NFL. Most of these guys, they've been around defensive coordinators that have different philosophies, different thoughts, and all these things. And so you as an individual, during your time, you're coming up with, hey, I'm hoping to be a defensive coordinator. This is what I'm going to run. This is how I'm going to operate. So you have your foundation laid out, and obviously a lot different now for a guy like that going from the NFL to college. Two totally different games.
Totally different
games. So I was nervous about that hire to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it plays out. But I hope that he has some kind of base and not just come in here, well, we're going to just wing it based on our talent. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't like that.
That's basically what he told us.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it plays out, but I don't like that.
No, it made me nervous. Is this an important year for Deion in the program?
I think so.
Yeah. Do you kind of have to, you know, no excuses, just results this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you one of the worst rushing defenses in the country last year?
Looked like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have liked maybe a little bit more of a concrete plan. And when you and I talked about this before, I voiced part of my concern to you is this is a huge year. You're bringing in somebody with no experience, and now he's going to, you know, collage this thing together, you know, a little paper mache on the fly?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want gray area.
Me neither.
So gray area, like just coming in here winging it. No, that's not a good
plan. It scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. It definitely, it's got my antennas up. I'll just say that, all right? On the other side, when we come back, Nuggets in action yesterday. They clinch a spot in the playoffs. Avs clinch this weekend. NCAA tournament action from yesterday and tonight. We'll break it all down and more next.